بسم الله، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome everyone to the next presentation in the Intimacy Conversation. We have a very special guest, a popular guest on this channel, mashallah, tabarakallah. We do love her. We love her energy, we love her heart, we love her warmth, and her very practical advice about marriage and all sorts of things psychological. And she is none other than Sister Hali Banani. Assalamu alaikum, my dear sister. Welcome to the Intimacy Conversation.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khair for that warm greeting. That was so sweet of you. And I love being on here and I love working with you, mashallah.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So like I said, veterans of this channel, they know you from Secrets of Successful Wives. Mm-hmm. But for those who are new, and we have a lot of new people who've joined, tell mashallah. Them a little bit about you, the work that you do, and then let's jump into it with these intimacy killers. Let's go.
Let's do it, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, I've had the privilege of being a faith-based counselor since 1998, so that's over 25 years, mashallah, working with the Muslim community, working with thousands of individuals across the globe. So I get a rare glimpse of what the Muslims are experiencing, the difficulties that they face. And dealing with marriage has been an area of expertise, alhamdulillah, which we have, it has led us, my husband and I, to make marriage programs. We've done a premarital program with a popular guest, Baba Ali, who was just on, mashallah. And, you know, I teach the practical information. He makes it very entertaining. We have the Five Pillars of Marriage program, which is, you know, giving you really the blueprint of having a successful marriage. And there is a lot of focus on intimacy and how to improve that. And the global support group, helping women become the best versions of themselves, mashallah. And that is transforming the lives of many, many women, alhamdulillah. So I can't wait to start this discussion. It is long overdue and it's very critical for us to address these seven killers, the seven killers of intimacy. Okay. Okay, are we doing it? I wasn't sure if we're doing it in conversation style or you just want me to go at it. Let me know, sister. All right. So what I am seeing, what I have seen in doing this work, subhanAllah, is that there are so many preliminary steps, right, in order to have good intimacy. Many people see it as, you know, setting the mood. Setting the mood is not just about lighting up some candles and wearing something nice. It has to do with the prerequisites. There has to be a prerequisite to having good intimacy, right? So there are seven killers, and I've worked with thousands of people and helped them overcome these obstacles. And it has to do with, first and foremost, finding out what these are. Okay, so, and mashallah, they go from either being in a sex-starved marriage, or being totally disconnected, living as roommates, or just like being unfulfilled or feeling like it's a chore, to having good intimate relationships. So how does that happen? There are definitely things to keep in mind. First of all, there is a lack of positive association to intimacy. Now, how does this happen? How many of you were taught about intimacy? I'd like to know, how many of you have been taught that? You know, I have done a lot of, you know, workshops and conferences with the youth, and most of them tell me that they have never had the talk. They're just like, could you give me the talk right before I get married next weekend, right? So they don't have the talk. We have not been educated. I know my mom would turn beet red anytime a topic like that came up. So what happens is that most people are not educated in it. And then there is the fear tactic, right? It's like, oh my gosh, we need to raise children, you know, women or girls who are chaste, and they stay away from that stuff. So what do they use? A lot of the parents use the methodology of scaring them. There are scare tactics to ensure chastity. How many of you had that? Well, I did. And that is part of the reason I wanted to address this, because I know that I didn't have the tools, I wasn't, you know, given that talk, and I faced certain challenges. And as I worked with couples and women from across the world, I'm like, oh my gosh, okay, I wasn't alone. This is like, this is very prevalent. And so what happens is that this is create, it has created kind of a, you know, we've had this androcentric concept of sex, right? And the failure to recognize like female sexual desires, right? So it is, it has been introduced like intercourse is pleasurable only for men, or and it's a duty upon women. This is kind of like the mentality that a lot of, let's say, maybe our mothers, our grandmothers, maybe they had this mindset. And so that's what they teach. And good women, right? There's also that concept of good women with noble character, they won't ask for it, right? And that it becomes almost shameful if this is something you desire. And sadly, there is also this undertone of like only prostitutes would, you know, would enjoy intimacy or would wear certain outfits and would do certain things. And so with that mindset, it's really difficult for so many women to, for so many women to overcome all of these, you know, all of these cultural baggages. And this is not Islamic at all. And this is what's so important to realize is that this is not what Islam teaches us. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said he loved and he respected the women of the Ansar because their haya, right? It was like they had the haya, but yet they were not afraid to talk about intimacy, ask questions about it. So that's really important to realize that there are certain cultural norms we have to overcome. I've had clients that, you know, they feel so dirty afterwards. Some actually cry after intimacy because of these, this mentality, this has been pushed on them, subhanAllah. And we have to also look at it. You know, how many people have been taught that, you know, this is your duty, it is a chore, and if you don't do it, the angels are gonna curse you. We have to look at the psychology of duty versus desire, right? If something is a duty, and if you feel like, oh my God, if I don't do it, you're going to feel less, you know, you're going to feel less motivated, right? And your heart is not going to be in it, and you're not going to be engaging. And so in Islam, what we need to realize is that the act of intimacy is pleasurable for men and pleasurable for women, right? And it's a duty of a wife as much as it is the duty of the husband to please one another. So we need to stop presenting it like that. You know, the hadith about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that if a woman, you know, she prevents or holds back the intimacy, they will be cursed. This was an intent, okay, the intent of the hadith was to not use intimacy as a form of manipulation, which I have seen. I've seen some people, some women will use it, and some men as well, as a way of manipulating. So we want to make sure that we have to adjust that cultural, the misconceptions, okay? So the first killer was what? Is the lack of positive association. It's bad, it's shameful, it's haram to wear certain things, act certain ways. So that is the first thing that we need to correct. Sister, are you chiming in? Or is this, I just want to know what, because are we doing it as a conversation or should I go ahead? I want to be able to give you the chance to chime in if you want to chime in. All right. I think we're just doing it. All right. All right. Then the second thing is a lack of self-esteem and body image. You know, women have been suffering from whether it's low self-esteem or not having a strong body image for, you know, for so long. And it's gotten even worse with social media because now you don't just compare yourself to the people that you're, you know, your classmates or people you see, friends and family. It is everybody around the world. And so if you don't feel good about yourself or your body, you will not be interested and you won't be like, you won't find it appealing. You won't want to get intimate because you have to realize that the sexiest thing is confidence. That really is. It's not about your size. It's not about your shape. It's not about your looks. It's really about feeling amazing about yourself, what you have to offer. And when someone has that confidence, It really doesn't matter whether they fit that standard, right? Or that ideal standard. So when a person lacks self-esteem, and it could be from the men's side, right? A lot of men suffer from these issues as well. They may not have, like they may have gained weight and they feel like, you know what, I'm not looking as good as before. And so that prevents them from wanting to be intimate, right? So we need to make sure that our self-esteem, how we feel about ourselves. And it's interesting because, yeah, as I mentioned, the five pillars of marriage, which is the marriage program, we put a lot of psychology into this because it's based on research and it's based on results, right? And so we put the fifth pillar as intimacy, right? Not the first pillar. And I know that a lot of people like want to like jump right in and learn about the intimacy part, but it's like, you know what? There are stages. And it really reminds me of how, you know, Allah in the Quran says that your spouse is a tilth to you, right? And you know, you ponder that and you say, like, what is that about, right? If a farmer, you know, it can't just like plant the seed. You gotta prepare the soil. There's a lot of stages before you can plant the seed and then like expect fruits from it, right? And so that is such a beautiful analogy that Allah uses, saying that there are steps, prerequisites, things that we need to know and things we need to do in order to have that. So, you know, with the pillar one is all about, like, let's say, improving yourself, your self-esteem. If you feel good about yourself, about your body, about what you have to offer, if you're in a good place emotionally, spiritually, psychologically, guess what? You're going to shine. You are going to feel good about yourself. And when you feel good about yourself, guess what? The people around you are going to admire you, especially your spouse. So number one is to work on yourself. So the second thing that we talked about that is that the killer, right? The killer of intimacy is when you don't feel good about yourself. When you don't feel good about your body, when you feel like, yeah, I'm too, I don't know, some people think they're too skinny, or some people think they're too fat, or they're too whatever it is. I know that women struggle with their self-image, body image so much, and it can lead to, you know, taking extreme measures. There's eating disorders, or people starving themselves, and we don't want to use that approach. We want to just look at our body as an amana, and we want to take care of it, and we want to be at our best. And when you're at your best, guess what? Your spouse is going to notice, and you are going to be able to feel good about yourself, okay? Then the third thing that will kill intimacy is this lack of friendship, okay? So if you have a lack of friendship and time together, let's take the example of a couple. They don't see each other. Maybe they wake up at different times. Maybe the husband goes to work earlier, the wife wakes up. They don't really spend time together. At night, they each do their own thing. Maybe they're on social media, they're watching different shows. Weekend comes, they're not connecting, right? So if you're not connecting with your spouse, if you're not connecting on a daily basis, right? So I always tell the couples I work with, you need daily connection, right? That daily connection where you meet up. What's going on? What's happening? You know about their emotional state. You know about what problems they have, what stresses they have. I get surprised when individuals, they will tell me that they haven't talked to their spouse for 3 weeks. 3 weeks. And it's just unbelievable that how this happens. So you stop talking to your spouse, what's going to happen, right? You're going to, even if there's this, like, you know, there's a little bit of distance, what happens over time is that you feel like you're living with a stranger. Like, this person, I don't even know them anymore. Who are they? Because on a daily basis, we are changing. We are evolving, right? We have new pressures. We have new goals. We have new things that are happening in our lives. And if we're not connecting and kind of like, you know, connecting the dots, sharing and getting feedback, then we're going to lose each other. And when you don't know who this person is, right, it's like getting intimate with a stranger, right? And if you don't have quality time, And that's why that's so critical. And it is important to find out what is, you know, what are the love languages? We know about the five love languages. And for many, many women, it is quality time, right? And for men, it's acts of service. Acts of service, meaning that, oh, I'm going to work. I'm providing. I am, you know, I got your car fixed. I did the lawn. I did the whatever it is that you, I hung the pictures, right? I'm showing you I love you. Or it could be a man that says, you know what? Acts of service. I am providing. I have opened up, you know, several clinics just to make more money so I can get you the best vacations, the best homes. But what is that wife feeling? Unloved. She feels unloved. I didn't want the big house. Well, I mean, it's nice, but I would prefer to have more time with you, right? It's like, I want that connection. And many times when that is not there, right? And the man can be baffled, right? Baffled. I'm like giving her everything. I'm working 12 hours a day. I've provided the best vacations, the best home. Everything is top notch. What is she complaining about? And it has to do with, she's not getting your time. You are not asking about her. You're not connecting. You're not showing empathy. How many women, how many of you watching feel like there's a lack of empathy in your marriage? Just a show of hand, just a little bit of, you know, let's have a little feedback. So, you know, individuals will not feel like they are completely alone, right? You find that most women are feeling like, you know, I just don't feel understood. I don't feel like he cares. I don't feel like there's any feelings there. And how many men feel like, I work so hard, there's no appreciation. It's as if, like, okay, fine, you worked. And there's a comedian, he actually talks about men's brain versus women's brain. I don't remember his name right now, but it's so funny because he talks about how we have a different point system, right? We have a different point system. When a man goes and he works and he puts in this, you know, 8 to 10 hours, he gives himself 500 points. It's like, I got 500 points, right? But then what does the woman give to the man for working all day? 1 point, right? And so what happens is that we have this different point system. And so there's a feeling of not being loved, not feeling cared for, not feeling appreciated. And so when that happens, well, you know, you're not going to want to be close to someone. You don't want to be intimate with someone you're not close to. Right? So the showing of affection, it's so amazing what happens when couples start to show affection. Now, something I tell, I would tell you is that foreplay doesn't begin 5 minutes before having physical intimacy. It happens from the morning. It happens from how you greet each other. It happens when you have the non-sexual touch. It is the caressing. It is the hugs. It is the compliments. It's that quality time. It's being there and saying, you know what? Let me do the dishes tonight. You're really tired. Let me put the kids to sleep, right? So all of that has to do with foreplay. And when a woman feels like, oh my gosh, he is tuning into me. He knows what I need. He is there for me. He's making my life easier. He's making me feel great. Then the woman will open up to that, to the intimacy. Now, for men, a lot of times when they, I have noticed that there are some role reversals. There are some, you know, with all that has happened in our societies, and you find that many, many men are wanting that emotional connection as much as the women, right? And I see cases where the woman is not as interested, surprisingly, and they're more into the act. So I'm seeing lots of changes, especially in this past decade. And you find that many men are just like, you know what, if she's not showing any interest in me, if she's not asking about my day, my work. I mean, I had one client, he had to deal with, you know, he was a physician, and his clients would, they would die on him, and he would get so We get so worked up and so sad. And sometimes the women are just completely disconnected. And I would say, would you ever ask about his work? It's like, no, I don't. I'm like, well, the man needs to also feel appreciated, needs to feel respected. And when he's respected and admired and appreciated, he is going to naturally want to be intimate with you, right? So we got to look at this relationship as like emotional deposits. When you make emotional deposits, what ends up happening is that you open up. It's like, oh, wow. Then what is it like? It's like those individuals who met and they were courting and there was excitement and there was this friendship, right? When you have that friendship, then you are open to the intimacy. So it's very critical for us to make sure that we have that connection, the emotional connection. Okay, so very quickly, the first one, what was the first killer? The first killer was a lack of positive association to intimacy, right? It's all that cultural baggage, I would say cultural garbage, that has nothing to do with the deen because we are told that you will be rewarded, right? The Prophet ﷺ said to the Sahaba that you will be rewarded when you do acts of intimacy. And they were surprised, like, we're going to be rewarded for this? It's like, yes, absolutely. Because if you did it in the haram, you would be punished. But doing it in the halal, and I have a joke with my couples, and I just say, you know what? It's like, enjoy your halal meat. Right? A lot of times people are searching outside of their marriage. They're trying to like create that excitement because it's just not there at home. There's no flirting, there's no touching, there's no interaction. So people get desperate. Sadly, they get desperate. And the best of people who are religious, they're muhajjabas, they are, going to the mosque, they're doing all that. If they are in a sexless marriage, sadly, they may take routes to just try to fulfill themselves. And sometimes it's haram routes, right? So that was the baggage. We know that we need to get rid of that cultural baggage. Second was that lack of self-esteem and body image. We've got to work on ourselves. We gotta make sure that we feel good. We don't have to be a certain size. I'm not telling you to go out there and, look a certain way, but at least make effort to be your best, right? As long as you're making some kind of effort, then it is, having this lack of friendship when you don't have time together. And that is like something that I go in depth about. Like, how do you connect with your spouse? How do you make them feel loved? How do you light them up? Have you ever woken up in the morning and said, you know what? How can I just bring joy to my spouse? When I tell that to most people, they're just like, what? Never thought about it. Right? But if you start thinking about that and thinking, what were we doing during our courting period? What was it that made us just like, let's say, very passionate for each other? Now, I know there are some people, maybe it was arranged marriage, maybe it was like, you didn't know the person and it's like you had to build to it, and maybe it never existed. And I feel for you, I understand. I know that a big population of the people I work with, it was arranged. It was, oh, my, our parents were friends. And so this is a good match, right? And so you may have not experienced it in the past, but it is possible to experience it now because once you start doing these things, so when I say, let's recapture the courting period, and they'll, oh, I didn't really have a courting period. I know what you're talking about. I wasn't in love. I wasn't even attracted, right? So I get that. But what I have seen is that when people start applying these principles, when they start feeling good about themselves, once they start making the emotional deposits, then what happens is that the person will start opening up to it and they'll start enjoying. They will have that friendship and they'll be like, you know what? This person is actually, they are my source of comfort. They're my source of comfort. And this is how Allah intended marriage to be. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُم مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. That Allah has put what between you? It is the mercy and compassion. Right? And so in love and compassion and mercy. So if you're not providing that for your spouse, you are not fulfilling a commandment of like what marriage is supposed to be like. Does your spouse come to you for for comfort? Does your spouse come to you to feel a sense of relief? If you do that for your spouse, I guarantee your physical intimacy will be better. If you feel that your spouse is there for you through the thick and thin, it would be like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Khadija radiallahu anha at the time when he was in with such despair and devastation. He didn't go to his other family members. He didn't go to the Sahaba, his friends. He went to his wife. He went to his wife because she provided that support. And I guarantee if you provide that support to your spouse, if you are there like that for your husband, if you are there like that for your wife, I bet you that you're, well, we shouldn't bet, right? I guarantee that your marriage and your physical intimacy will be so much more fulfilling, because that's the place you can be vulnerable, because it's a person that really gets you, right? Now, the fourth, and it's like, and it goes with this, so first point, working on yourself, right? Second is that friendship. Third, something I had overlooked is having that God consciousness, right? When you're God conscious, you're not going to be, let's say, greedy in physical intimacy. You're not going to be selfish. You're going to be very God conscious and say, you know what, I want to fulfill my spouse and have it as a means to getting closer to Allah and earning Jannah, okay? And then it's about, you know, conflict resolution. The lack of conflict resolution is what a lot of people, this is what gets them, right? Because you can't yell at your spouse during the day and then expect some action at night, okay? It doesn't work that way. So when you're mad, when you're sad, when you're neglected, when you're frustrated, you're not gonna wanna be intimate. It's just common sense. And it's surprising how people will not make that connection, okay? You just called him a loser and then you wanna be intimate. Or you just yelled at her and said, you know, I don't care about you, or you're not attractive, and then you wanna be intimate. It doesn't work that way, right? So you have to know how to resolve your problems, because look, problems are guaranteed, right? Allah has promised us that He will test us. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah will test you with loss, with hunger, with all sorts of difficulties, and Allah is giving glad tidings to the people who are patient. So as life goes on, we are going to be tested. We're going to be tested with our children, with our money, with our relationships, with our marriage. And how you learn how to solve those problems, if you don't get it, if you don't know how to solve problems, your marriage is going to suffer. It definitely is going to suffer. So a good marriage is not one without conflict. It is one who knows how to, like, if you know how to resolve the conflict, okay? So when you know how to resolve the conflict and you have an issue and you're able to talk it through and you get to a good solution, right, you're going to want to be intimate with this person, because it's not, how can you expect your spouse who has just been humiliated, just been sometimes, you know, you've been physical with them, okay, not the good physical, right, it's like being, you know, shaking your spouse or grabbing them or doing things like that, how do you expect that person to become vulnerable to you and be intimate? Right? It just doesn't make logical sense. So we need to learn how to resolve those problems. And then the fifth killer is a lack of safety, right? When you don't feel emotionally connected, when you don't feel safe, because a lot of times safety, you think, okay, physically, like, okay, someone, that there's no domestic violence, and may Allah help all the people who are tuning in who may be suffering from this silently. And I know there are women out there who are oppressed, and there are men out there who are oppressed. And I pray that Allah helps our brothers and sisters in those situations. And the physical safety, that's one aspect of it, but there's also a lack of emotional safety, right? It's this feeling of, you know, you're afraid to be mocked, right? I had some ladies tell me that, you know, they would dress up, the the husband would just laugh at them, right? Like how degrading, right? You're making an attempt to initiate, to look good, and then the person mocks your body, right? There might be this fear of rejection. Like you're gonna take that initiative, you're gonna put yourself on the line, and then the person is like, oh, I don't wanna, right? And it can go both ways. It could be the woman, it could be the man. What I'm seeing, so many women suffer from not being sexually fulfilled. So many of them, and they are stuck because they can't really talk about it. And that's why it's so amazing what Sister Naima Roberts is doing in having these very challenging conversations. I remember almost a decade ago when I was first asked to talk about physical intimacy, it took me 1 year of contemplation, doing a sahara, talking to the shuh, wondering if, is this appropriate? Is this, you know, should we talk about it? And I got the green flag, yes, we need this, because our marriages are suffering. And what I have seen is that individuals, you know, the couples who they're in a sex-starved marriage, they end up doing one of many things. It's either they will, you know, they will cheat and this happens, or they will go a haram route. I don't even want to list all the things that I have seen and heard, subhanAllah. So what we need to do is safeguard our marriage from infidelity by having good intimate relationship. It actually protects you from going in the haram, okay? So that safety is making sure that you're not going to be ridiculed. You're not going to be made fun of. You're not going to be rejected, okay? And then it's about, what is the next killer? The lack of communication. You know how many couples have admitted that they never talked about intimacy? How do you expect to be fulfilled if you're not giving any kind of feedback, if you don't talk about it, right? I mean, I have some couples who actually can never get the message across that they are interested. I have people who have to come up with code words. Now, I'm not, you know, if that's how it is, if you're that shy and you need to have that as a method, I'm not knocking it. I actually suggest it to some people. And so some people will use, you know, I would like some dessert, you know, tonight. And it's, you know, it might be surprising to you, but this is how it goes back to that, the cultural baggage, right? We shouldn't, good girls don't talk about this. We shouldn't talk about it. A lot of men, they feel, I'm embarrassed to talk about it, right? Well, I didn't know. I thought you wanted, I didn't know you wanted, I wanted it. It's like so confusing. So it's a matter of, if you don't talk, how can you expect to be fulfilled? So I like to use an analogy that is like, imagine if a waiter comes to you and says, what would you like? And you're like, guess what it, I mean, it's just, it would be absurd, right? And if you don't say, if you order, let's say the meal, and you're very specific, the more specific you are, the more likely it is that you'll get what you want, right? So if you say, I would like to have a steak, medium rare, and I would like mashed potatoes, a side of broccoli, I don't know, whatever it is, and you order it, then guess what? It's more likely that you will get it. But if you're just like, oh, you know, I expect you to read my mind, then we're going to be in trouble, right? So another aspect of this is the lack of education, right? Like that kills it, because if you don't know, right, it's, if you don't know about intimacy, you were not given the talk. I don't, you know, I kid you not, I was giving a talk to the youth, and there were about 100 of them, like 50 girls, 50 guys. And there was such a misconception, right? A lot of the women, a lot of the girls, they were so overly protected. One, the father even told her that if a guy touches you, that you will get pregnant, and sent her off to public schools, right? And then there are the guys, and then they have seen and heard and done everything. So you have like this, yeah, just such a mismatch. And I literally had a girl come up to me, she's like, I'm engaged, I'm about to get married, could you please give me the talk? Because I don't know what to do, I don't know what to expect. So you find that a lot of the men who have been exposed to pornography, they have very unrealistic expectations. And they think that that is what a woman wants. And it's, the way I explain it to them is kind of like someone watching a sci-fi movie and then wanting to act out the sci-fi movie. It's not accurate. And so it is so important to learn about intimacy, the way we're doing now in from an Islamic perspective, but a healthy Islamic perspective, not one that is jaded. Not one that is jaded with all of this cultural baggage. We have to realize that we got to rid ourselves of all of that negative association. We got to feel good about who we are, about ourselves, work on ourselves, right? And then make sure that we have that, the friendship. You can't stop connecting with your spouse. You can't stop caring. You can't think that you can go through life with a person being their roommate, not sleeping next to each other, not caring for each other, not doing anything, and then somehow magically have this like amazing intimate relationship, right? It's just not gonna happen. And if you don't know how to resolve your conflict, if you go and you're constantly mad and frustrated and sad, then what's going to happen is that you're not going to want to be intimate, right? And so we've got to build a safe haven in our homes, the way Allah wanted for us to have, a place where we can put down our guards, we can be ourselves, and we can feel comforted. We can feel loved. We can feel cared for. We can feel that this is a place that I can just, I can be myself and I'm going to be loved and I'm going to be accepted and I'm going to be, celebrated. Imagine being in a relationship like that. Obviously, you're going to want to be intimate with someone that really cares about you and talk about it. I know it's awkward. I know that there's just that a lot of hang-ups and a lot of like taboo, and I loved how sister sister Naima was saying, shh, we're gonna talk about intimacy, right? And I know it is a taboo, but we do need to talk about it. We need to talk about it as a community, and we need to talk about it with our spouse. If you don't talk about it, then you're going to feel unfulfilled, right? Just remember, you can't expect the waiter to guess what it is that you want to order. Specify, okay? And then just, we need to increase our education. We need to do it in a, in an Islamically correct way, inshallah. And I believe that we need to have some time for Q&A. So I'm going to stop there and see if Sister Naima, if there are some questions that we need to answer, just let me know, inshallah, because I know that's what we had discussed, is to have like a little bit of time for the Q&A. So please let me know if there is. Oh, so here we go. Let me see in the chat. All right. So even if a man does not instinctively feel the desire to be empathetic, he should think strategically for the sake of having sex that he should do this daily soundboard exercise with his wife and practice active listening. Is this correct? Yes, even very good point. Okay, I'm guessing this is a brother. Okay, yes. Okay, I was just having a session yesterday and the wife was complaining, oh, my husband is not empathetic. I go, you know what? I get it. There are some people may not naturally be empathetic, and but you learn to validate the feelings. Validating is not the same as agreeing. Okay, so what I and women are really great about this, and that's why we love talking to our girlfriends. We talk about, oh, like this happened to me, that happened. And then we're just like, oh, that must have been really painful. That must have been so hard. Oh my God, right? And that's what we need. And it's funny because, as a counselor, I have my fix-it hat on. And I remember one of my girlfriends was talking about a marriage issue that she had. And, I was like, okay, here's what you do. One, two, three. And then she's like, Hala, sometimes I just want to vent. So I'm like, okay, I get it. I'm just going to sit and say how terrible it is, or I feel bad for you. And that's what it is. And one of the things that, my husband and I have agreed to do, because he always, he has his fix-it hat on, is that he'll ask, he'll say, do you want a solution? And you know, sometimes I want to sleep, sometimes I don't, and sometimes I want to vent, right? So let's see, would the speaker please address the issue of men being seen as weak by their wives when they express vulnerability? Okay. Yeah, you know, I feel for the men because, you know, growing up, a lot of times they get mixed messages, right? So it's this like, men don't cry and be a big boy and you shouldn't show, you know, stop crying and stop sharing your feelings. And so they have to kind of build this armor, right? And then they go into a relationship and they're expected to be, you know, very, very vulnerable, right? And so it's hard. So some men will just like not have it in them to be expressive. Now, your situation is that when you are expressing yourself and being vulnerable, a woman might see it as weakness. Well, I see it as a huge source of strength. When you are in touch with your feelings, but you have to make sure that it doesn't, you know, go to the other extreme, right? Because what I've seen is that some men, you know, they are expressing themselves and they are, you know, they're expressing themselves, they're sharing, which is good, a healthy amount, right? But sometimes if it gets excessive, some of my clients will say, you know, I feel like he doesn't act as manly. Like I want a leader. I want someone. So you have to be very careful in balancing it out. You want the strength, you want her to feel like, you know, she can rely on you, you're strong and reliable and a leader, but at the same time you show emotions. But if it's all about the emotions and not enough of the leadership, that's where it can go wrong. All right, let's see what else. Sister, will you be covering how men have been through childhood sexual abuse, later have intimacy issues yet refuse to get therapy? How does a wife tackle this? The earlier talk, Brother Gabriel said masturbation is haram. Now in a situation like this, what is a sister to do? I'm sorry to hear that. It, you know, sexual abuse has a profound impact on, you know, on the person who experiences it. It can do one of two things. One, it can make the person be extremely promiscuous, where, you know, I've had clients who've been molested, and then so it makes them actually go outside of the marriage. They have multiple partners, and so they become very promiscuous because they were exposed to this at an early stage in their lives, or it makes them disgusted. Right. So I have some clients that they don't even want to kiss. They don't want to be touched. Every time they, you know, they're touched, they're, you know, they cringe. They cringe. And so if you, you know, as the woman, you're feeling that your husband has gone through sexual abuse and it's like, you know, he's not addressing it. This is something that if it is really critical for all of you who are listening to this and you've gone through sexual abuse, don't think this is something, oh, I was 5, oh, I was 10, it doesn't matter. And if you're struggling, right, because some people have that experience and then they overcome it, right, because they worked on themselves, they studied about it or whatever, they got counseling, right? But other times you find that if you're having problems in your marriage and it's, you know, it's intense, you need to get help and you are able to get over it. Now, for the woman who is saying, what is she to do? You know, I'm not here to give any kind of fatwas. I know that I did a segment with a sheikh, and they, you know, there are differences of opinion, and that's not my area to say what is halal or what is not. What I have known is that if it prevents you from the haram, then that is permissible, not as like, you know, pastime, but as a way of protecting yourself from going into the haram. So I pray that Allah eases your situation. Are there any other questions? Are there any other questions that we can address?
Assalamu alaikum, my dear sister. Jazakallah kullu khair for such a wonderfully comprehensive talk, mashallah. I've actually got some questions here in the Q&A. Have you had a chance to see them?
I
Is,
see.
do I
I
have a
mean, I
list?
addressed the ones that I saw. But oh, is it, are there more? Let
Yeah,
me see.
there's
Maybe
more.
that
Just
was the
scroll down.
chat.
There's lots. Well,
Oh,
there's a
there's
couple more.
lots. Okay,
Yes.
where, why is it this not moving? Let me see. Could you read them
So
to
yeah, sure,
me?
that's no problem.
All
So
right.
here, this person said, even if a man does not instinctively feel the desire to be empathetic, he should think strategically for the sake of having sex so that he should do this daily. Soundboard
Yes.
exercise with his wife and practice active listening. Is this correct?
Yes, it is correct. And I did address it. I read this one
Okay. Oh,
and I
okay.
was talking about how many men may lack that empathy, but if you do want to have that intimate relationship, you do need to sit, listen, make those emotional deposits, whether you're like really feeling it or not, but it really makes a difference. When a woman feels heard and cared for, she will open up physically.
Mashallah. And this is exactly the advice that we've been getting really across the board from everyone. So
Yes.
those who are listening, please take heed. And sister, please can you let everyone know where they can find you and what you have available for them? I know you have so many amazing programs, mashallah, and ways in which you can help, a great variety of people. Please do tell us, inshallah, before we finish
Sure.
up.
Sure. Well, if you go to halebanani.com, and if you can spell out my name, not everyone may know how to spell it, but halebanani.com under courses, I have the marriage programs, which is five pillars of marriage. It's very comprehensive. It'll give you all the tools and the weapon. Okay, so there are free material. My husband is reminding me to give some, it's just something as a gift to all the listeners. So there is a webinar. So it's halabanani.com/ free class. Okay, free class. And that will definitely give you a lot of tools, help you along the way, right? And then I have the mentorship program, which is the Mindful Hearts Academy, that will rebuild you, right? You know what I talked about as far as your self-esteem, feeling good about yourself. So that mentorship program will definitely, it'll transform the way you feel about yourself so that you can celebrate who you are and it'll affect your spouse. And the premarital program that I have with Baba Ali, which is called Laugh and Learn. And so that one, for those of you, I know it's marriage season and you want to give a gift, like really it's the best gift you can give is the gift of having a good marriage. So many people spend on their wedding, but not on their marriage. So inshallah, I would be so happy and honored to be able to help you in this journey. And if you're at the end of your rope, I always say, give it one last try, inshallah.
Oh, mashallah. I absolutely love that. And yes, guys, that is an idea for the wedding season. Instead of giving people more sets of plates, of which they will have many, why not get them one of these amazing courses, inshallah, so they can truly invest in their marriage, bi'idhnillah. Jazakallah khairan, my dear sister. As always, it's
Thank
wonderful to have you. We will send your details out to the list and everybody who signed up, inshallah. Please, 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 we make dua for you and your family
Jazakallah.
and your whole household for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept your deeds and to allow
Amen.
you to continue to benefit the ummah. We love you, we appreciate you, and inshallah, we will see you again. Jazakallah
Thank
khairan.
you. Wa yaki and jazakallah khairan for having me on. And I really admire the work that you're doing, Sister Naima. Mashallah, I'm cheering for you anytime I see a new program, and you are really, really exerting yourself as such an example and setting up this course, specifically this discussion about intimacy is so powerful and so needed, and you can't imagine how much it will impact, the lives of so many people. You probably can imagine, that's why you're doing it, but
That's what I'm
jazakallah
hoping
khair.
for. That's what we're hoping for, sister. Jazakallah
Mashallah.
khairan. And
Thank
everybody
you.
else, good night. We will see you again tomorrow, inshallah. We have some more wonderful sessions coming up. Please don't forget to upgrade for VIP if you want Sister Anisa Kisoon's private workshop, Sacred Seduction. You don't want to miss it. We'll see you on the other side, inshallah. Jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.